Most of us in our short lifetime will experience an instruction manual. And God has left us an instruction manual. And God wants us to follow this instruction manual. I think about when we get something new, it comes with an instruction manual. And if we try to do things different than that instruction manual, that's not going to work. You're not going to be able to do whatever you want to do. I think the smartphones has outdid themselves. I really do. I think this technology beyond technology. I think about the little boy that commercials, most of you probably seen it, it says, if he has to share the internet, that's just pushing a man a little too far. Well, I think about self-driving vehicles. And now they had on the news the other day that they're even going to have a car without a steering wheel in it. That's pushing a man a little too far. Because we have to be able to take control if the manual gets out of control. I think about when I run a liquid oxygen plant in the service. And I think about it had instructions how to run that plant and what to do when things got out of kilter. And if you didn't do what you were supposed to, you had bells and whistles and everything else going off around you, and you had to get that corrected in short order or things would get very disastrous. We've been studying in our class through Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Now we're going into Galatians. And that's kind of where my thoughts come from today. As you know, Paul gives us a lot of instructions in this instruction manual. Paul is a very well-versed individual from God, and he's left us directions on what to do. But in Galatians in the first chapter, it says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he repeated that saying. These individuals here were having trouble with people trying to misguide them on what God wanted them to do. And Paul's trying to instruct these individuals, do not go away from the instruction manual. Do what I've asked you to do. And he goes into detail on how he received all that from the Lord. As I live my life on earth and before I become a Christian, I think our worship has to be sincere. And I think if it's not sincere, God's not pleased with our efforts today. It has to be according to the guidebook, and it has to be what God wants. We have to serve Him and do it His way. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Our life has to change. If we accept Christ in our life, we have to change. Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, being your understanding, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must do what God tells us according to His instruction book, being the Bible. James 1:22-23 says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he is beholding himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. We have to take part in church services. I think the instruction book instructs us that we have to do that. We have to keep God's church alive. We have to keep spreading the gospel and telling the truth. And that takes help. And that means that we might be teaching. We might give lessons as I am this morning. We might offer prayers. We might participate in the Lord's table. We need to do something where we're taking part in the work of God. We must realize that that is what's going to encourage us the most. I always think about when I weaken a little bit about Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God gives us the strength. God gives us the ability to do things for Him if we're concerned about that. I thank God every day for my brothers and sisters in Christ that have helped me get to the point where I'm at. I thank God that He's given me a physical family to lean on in times of trouble and times of joy and happiness. And I thank God that He asked Jesus Christ to go to the cross for me and die on that cross. I just feel that we cannot live two different lives. We cannot live worldly and also in a Christian manner. We can live in the world and be a Christian, but we can't live two different lives. So I guess the question that I would ask is, what are you getting out of your worship service this morning? What do you expect to get out of your worship service this morning? When I was living worldly before I accepted Christ, I've mentioned several times about I tried to read the Bible. And if you don't know anything about the Bible, and you don't know where to start reading, you're going to be confused. But I think God knows when our heart is sincere. I think God knows when we're ready to accept that truth. But I feel like you cannot understand this Bible on your own. You have to study God's instruction book. And I'm sure most of us go to the instruction book on things that we buy, things that we use in our life more than once. We go there to learn how to operate that, and we need to go to God's guidebook and learn how to operate in God's direction. Mark has encouraged us to read the Bible through in a year, and he has an outline in the back. I'd encourage you, if you have not picked one of them up, even though you might have read through the Bible 100 times, you might have not read through the Bible once, you might have read through the Bible not at all, give up. Sometimes when you get to all them lineages and people after people, it gets kind of slowed down in our reading, but we need to read through that. We need to understand that somewhat. I encourage you to pick one of those outlines up this morning and start reading. But that's also why the church had a class this morning, had classes this morning to help us and instruct us in what the Bible is trying to ask us to do. Our outer life as we live here on earth is very important. It should be encouraging to those around us. King David knew the importance of putting God first. Psalms 27:4 said, "One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." One thing David wanted more than anything was to enjoy God all the days of his life. 1 Peter 3 and 4 says, the beauty should be of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Again, it's important for us to live in the world. We cannot get around that, but we must live as a Christian would live. People are watching us every day. And I read a little story, and I'm going to tell that to you. Individual went into his church and told the minister that he was not going to attend church no more. He was tired of church and tired of attending. And so the preacher asked him, why have you made this decision? And he says, well, I look around at a lot of the people that I'm around and people I attend with and things that they've taught me and things that I've learned from them. And I've decided there's too many hypocrites in the church. They don't really do what they say they do, so I'm just not going to worship with them people anymore. So the preacher said, do me a favor before you make that final decision. He said, okay. So he said, I want you to fill this glass full of water to the brim. And I want you to go outside and I want you to walk around the church 3 times and I want you to come back in and we'll have another talk. So the guy took the water, went outside, walked around 3 times, come back. The preacher said, Jen, build a drop. He said, no. He said, how many hypocrites did you see? How many people did you see out there that was doing things wrong? And the guy said, I didn't see anybody doing anything wrong because I was focused on this glass of water. And so the preacher says, that's what your life needs to be. It needs to be focused on God as a glass of water. You shouldn't focus on people around you and how they do things. You know, it's far too easy for us to forget the truth that this entire universe is about God. And we try to hijack that spotlight to focus on us. We spend our short little 60, 70, 80 years here on earth trying to make much of us. And forgetting that all of this creation was designed to make much of God. God made you for a purpose. And he sent Jesus Christ in this world to enjoy you, to invite you to join his purpose for life, which is to magnify his name. So we shouldn't waste our life magnifying something that is a wisp, a vapor, a puff of smoke, which is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air. We should focus our life and be a part of that eternal story of God. A story in which every second lifts up and magnifies God. Jesus told a parable. Farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell on along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. The point Jesus makes here is that if people don't have deep roots, in the Word of God and in this instruction book that He's left us, then we're going to fall away at things that's misleading, simple things that are misleading. Also, Jesus encouraged His followers to build their house on a rock. Even though the wind and the storm beat against that house, it did not crumble because it was built on a rock, that being Jesus Christ. We sing a song in our songbook, "On Christ alone I stand, all else is sinking sand." It's no surprise then that Paul encourages his believers to be rooted and built up in Christ Jesus and strengthened in His faith. If we are strengthened in the faith, then we won't wilt under small things that's misleading. We need to be guided by the Word of God. And unfortunately, too many of us sometimes forget about what the Word of God says. We need to make our priorities deep in the roots of Christ. So when we come to church this morning, did we ask what's in the worship for me? Or did we ask what's in our worship for God? Did I come to serve God, or did I come to gain knowledge and understanding for myself? Satan wants to convince us, as long as we go to church, any church, your eternity is secure. He wants you to believe that as long as you are in attendance in a church, you are doing your part. Matthew 7:21-23 doesn't read that way, though. Jesus looked to the judgment day and spoke about deceived souls. Jesus said that many would tell Him all about the religious things that they had done. But He would say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Sounds like these people were doing good things. At least they thought they was good enough to tell them to Christ. The problem was they were not doing the will of the Father. They were not following this guidebook. They were not worshiping God the way He wanted to be worshiped. There was nothing in it for God, and their worship was useless. Satan wants to convince you and me that we are honoring and glorifying God even if our hearts are far from Him. He will do this by getting you to follow a false religion or false teaching. Matthew 15:8-9 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their lips are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teaching is merely human rules." There's many people we know that go to church, and they usually say that they go to church, and they honor God. So they feel like they are truly honoring God. But are they? Are they doing it according to God's guidebook? Are they doing it according to some made man's religion, something that makes them feel good? I don't know. But I know God only accepts what He instructs us and how He instructs us to worship. We have to follow the pattern of God. And Satan wants us to believe that that is unimportant. As long as you just love God, do what you feel is right in your heart, and it makes you feel good, then God is going to be pleased with that effort. But God gave us this Bible. He gave us this instruction book. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17 says, "God gave the Scriptures to make us wise for salvation. They teach us, they reprove us, they correct us, They train us in righteousness. These scriptures equip us for every good work. God has provided a pattern for us, and that's the way we must worship God. We must worship God according to His instruction book, not according to what makes us feel good, not according to what will bring the most people into His house this morning or in meeting times. Notice 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul told Timothy that he was explaining how one should conduct himself in the church. He was providing a pattern for serving God. And the New Testament is a pattern that we must not pass over lightly. Because if we follow any other pattern or any other feeling or any other person, then we are not serving God. How many times have you heard these sayings or maybe thought them yourself? God gave us the Bible just to tell us that He loves us, and all He wants in return is for us to love Him the best we can. Surely a loving God is not going to care if we do just a few things differently than what His Bible or guidebook tells us to do. God just really wants us to be happy, so if we are doing and feel what's right, it must be pleasing to God. I know what the Bible says, but I just can't believe God would condemn us for changing a few things. You see how all these statements minimize God's pattern and His guidebook, His instruction book for us? Exalting our own opinions, our own feelings, our own desires. Our worship service to God must be authorized and approved by His instruction book. I thought about the three stories about Cain. Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord, and it was called an offering. How can there be anything wrong with that? But God did not respect Cain's offering. The text does not tell us exactly why Cain's sacrifice was displeasing. But what we do learn is that God does care how we honor Him. Just because we call something an offering to God does not mean He accepts it. At Ezra in 1 Chronicles 13, 6 through 11, David was moving the ark. They were told not to touch it. It was going to fall off the cart. Ezra touched the ark and God struck him dead. These people thought they were serving God, but just because they think they are serving God does not mean God accepts it. Ask Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10:1-3. Aaron's two sons were ministering in the tabernacle of the Lord. They made one small change. They glorified and worshiped God by using strange fire, and in an instant they were devoured by the fire from heaven. So ask yourself this morning, does God really care? Romans 15:4 says, these things were written for our learning. We learn from these passages that God does care how we glorify Him. And if we are not following His pattern or His guidebook, the one He established, the one He gave us, then no amount of justifying, explaining, or renaming what we are doing authorizes our actions. We are only glorifying God when we do it His way. Anything else is really serving ourselves and not God. You know, the devil has deceive far too many people today. And he is still active trying to deceive the young and old alike. And the fact is that most of us are trying to find our place in the world and hopefully in the Lord's church also. You desire to serve God fervently with all your heart and be an active part of his people. And the devil wants to take advantage of that by appealing to your emotions and your desires. He wants to offer you fun and good time and convince you that in following what appeals to you, you are following God. So ask yourself about every action of your worship to God. What's in it for God? What are you doing in your worship for God according to the guidebook that he's left us? And remember, there's only something in it for God if we can turn to a book, chapter, and verse and demonstrate that God wants us to do it. Otherwise, we are like Cain, Uzra, Nadab, and Abihu. We will be like those in Matthew 7:21-23 who called Jesus Lord with their mouths but acted lawlessness. In the end, we will hear, "I never knew you. Depart from me." We do not want to hear them words. When we stand in that judgment day and hope God is going to let us enter into heaven, we do not want to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." We want to hear, "Enter in, good and faithful servant, and be rewarded for the good works that we did for God while we were here on earth." When we worship God, we need to think about God and ask ourselves, what is in it for God? Our concern should be glorifying God in heaven and saving our souls and saving other souls. We cannot accomplish either of these goals if we allow Satan to turn us from the pattern of God and the guidebook that he has left us with. So we want you to ask yourself this morning, and each time you come to worship service for God, what is in it for God? Because this worship service is all about God. God wants us to assemble on the first day of the week. He's given us instructions to do that. And that's what we do. And we do our best here at the Pleasant Hill Congregation to fulfill God's will and to follow his guidebook. So each of us have to make the choice. Do we want to do what God asks us and follow his instruction book, or do we want to do what feels good and makes us happy and just attend God's church occasionally or when we feel like it? We have to make that choice for ourselves. God has given us a free choice. But we need to remember, we will stand before God whether you make a choice to accept him and follow him, or whether you make a choice to do what makes you happy and pleases you and makes you feel good. You will stand in the judgment day, and every knee will bow, and you will hear one of two things. Either enter in, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. So will you serve yourself pretending that you are devoted to God, or will you submit to what his word is authorized and serve him his way according to his guidebook? You have a choice to make. God has given us all free choice. We need to accept his son, Jesus Christ, and confess him before men, be baptized, and then start our walk with God. If we have made that choice and feel like we've erred from the way or something that you need to bring before the congregation, we give you that opportunity as we stand and sing the invitation song.